Do you like to go antique shopping? What if your new antique came with the spirit of a dead person with unfinished business? Would you still go antiquing? I'm Liz, and this is Mombi, a paranormal podcast, where once a week I come to you with a different tale of the paranormal. So grab your coffee, wine, or beverage of choice, and let's go. Tonight, we're going to talk about a wine cabinet that was found to have much more than just wine inside. Tonight, we are going to talk about the Dybbuk box. A Dybbuk in Jewish mythology is a human spirit, sometimes malicious, that has the power to haunt and even possess a person. It's said to possess someone in order to complete this soul's unfinished business. So the Dybbuk is like, "Hey man, do you mind giving me a lift in your body? Just got some unfinished business to complete." "Listen, I'm a mom of three. I don't have any time to be possessed or help a spirit finish its business. I'm just saying." So there are said to be 10 Dybbuk boxes throughout the world. It's said that all but two of these boxes are currently accounted for. Where are the two missing boxes? Who determined there were 10 of these boxes? I have questions. So the boxes apparently contain all the evil of the 20th century, such as World War II, the Korean War, etc. Why the 20th century was so full of evil, I don't know. Maybe they just didn't know how to trap a Dybbuk until the 20th century? I don't know. But apparently these 10 Dybbuk boxes contain all of the evil that happened in the 20th century. So the Dybbuk box we will be talking about tonight is a wine cabinet, which immediately got my attention. That was said to be made during World War II. A wine cabinet is a wooden box used to store and age your wine. So, you know, if you had one that doesn't contain a Dybbuk, I'd be down. So this locked cabinet was bought in an estate sale of items from a Holocaust survivor who had passed away at 103 years old by an antique store owner named Kevin Manis. So this woman's granddaughter called this cabinet the Dybbuk box. And Kevin, being Jewish, knew what a Dybbuk was. But being a true man in a paranormal situation, once he got it to his store, he opened it. No offense, men, but you guys don't seem to think anything paranormal is real until something happens directly to you. Case in point. So after this, Jane, the sales assistant at the antique store, was in the basement doing inventory and arranging things. She did this on a regular basis, but this day was different. Jane reports feeling uneasy. She felt like eyes were watching her. When the phone rang, she went to answer it. And while she was doing this, she began to hear noises in the basement. So what did she do? You know, she went to investigate. Y'all don't go back and investigate weird noises. That being said, I'm totally a person that goes back to investigate weird noises. All right, so Jane goes to the basement to investigate the noises. And this is when all hell breaks loose. Glass is breaking and lights are turning on their own. So she calls the store owner, Kevin. When Kevin gets to the store, all the lights are broken and the door to the basement is locked from the outside. He finally is able to get in and find Jane. When she sees Kevin, she cusses him out and leaves, which, same girl, same. She never returns to the antique store after this incident. Kevin thinks that all the damage was caused by Jane. Really? I mean, I get that this seems like a more logical explanation, but I'm sure she was cussing him out about his store being haunted. So, let's recap where we're at so far. Kevin has bought a locked wine cabinet. The owner's granddaughter referred to as a Dybbuk box. He knows what a Dybbuk is. He opens the cabinet. Now his employee gets locked in the basement with the box at the store. She leaves and doesn't come back. A bunch of stuff in his store is broken, including all the lights. Okay, you with me? This story's got a lot of players, and it gets a little bit confusing. But it's really interesting. So Kevin now decides the best thing to do with this wine cabinet is to give it to his mom for her birthday. That's right. He's got this haunted wine cabinet that is said to contain a Dybbuk by the person he got it from. He knows what a Dybbuk is. He's Jewish. His employee reports all of this crazy stuff happening once the Dybbuk box is at the store and he's opened it there. And so he decides that this is definitely what he should give his mom for her birthday. He gets called away after giving her this present. I'm going to say present with little, quotes around it, because I don't know that that's really a present anybody wants. But anyway, when he gets back, he found her lying on the floor next to the Dybbuk box, suffering from a stroke. He reports he could see the terror in her eyes as she lay there unable to move or speak. So Kevin now decides he should just sell this box. So he sells it to an older couple. That's right. After it caused his mom to stroke, he sold it to these people. However, they didn't keep it more than a few days before leaving it at the door to the store. They also reported that the box had an odd darkness about it. Kevin, now stuck with his haunted box, decides to put it in a storage building behind his house. He then becomes the target of this violent spirit. He begins struggling with nightmares of his friends turning into old hags and beating him. But when he starts waking up with bruises after these nightly bad dreams, he finally believes the wine cabinet is cursed. So you have a cursed item that has made you lose an employee, wrecked your store, gave your mom a stroke, made two little old people uneasy enough to return it, and gives you nightmares and bruises. What do you do next? That's right, you sell it on eBay. He did include the story and disclosed all information about it on eBay, so I guess whoever decided to buy it, I mean, it's really on them. Now, I did do some research about the Dybbuk box, and I did find an article about buying a Dybbuk box on eBay in 2015, which was big at the time. I guess you could buy them from about $40 to $400. That's right, folks. For the low, low price of $399.99, you too can own your very own malicious spirit in a box with unfinished business and the ability to possess you. What are you waiting for? So, the article did give information on why you shouldn't buy these on eBay, mostly being because most of them are fakes. To which I say, thank goodness, girl. Thank goodness. I'm just saying. That would, I don't know if that them being real is really a good thing, right? Anyway, so Kevin has listed the Dybbuk box on eBay. That's where Brian Grubb's college roommate Sam finds the ad. And apparently, couldn't pass it up. 3 weeks after finding his roommate checking out the ad on eBay, Brian walks into his house where he smells the overwhelming scent of urine, which, as a nurse and mom, I can tell you is a very distinct smell. That is not something you would confuse for something else. So he then walks into the kitchen where he finds the Dybbuk box. Sam blogged about his experiences with the box, like electronics around the house dying. Sam even had to buy a new laptop. One day the box and the living room walls were covered in bugs. So once Sam started seeing things, he started trying to get rid of the box. This is where Jason Haxton comes into the story. So Jason Haxton, who followed Sam's blog, paid him twice what he had spent on it to buy it once it was listed on eBay by Sam. Jason put the Dybbuk box in his medical museum, which I've got to say, as a nurse, that actually sounds like a pretty good time. And once like COVID is over and we get out of quarantine and stuff, I might need to find a medical museum to go to. I mean, think of all the little supplies and, you know, gadgets and stuff that they used to use that we don't use nowadays. I mean, that would just be an interesting time. Anyway, once the computers and lights started going out in the museum, the other museum staff told him the box had to go. He locked the box in his vehicle. One place where I don't want a haunted item that causes problems is in the back of my vehicle. I mean, that just sounds like an accident waiting to happen. So he then starts getting nightly visits from the old hag in his dreams. But once he starts seeing a black mass behind his son, Jason decides it was time to resell the box. It was stored in the basement of an unused rental property, but the evil inside didn't leave Jason. He reports once he got home, he began vomiting mucus, which, yuck. So this led Jason to contact Kevin, the antique owner who bought the box from the estate sale. Kevin contacted the original owner's family. he finds the old woman's cousin, Sophia. Sophia gives this story about the Dybbuk box. Seances had a surge of popularity before World War II, and Sophia's cousin made a makeshift Ouija board with embroidery on a handkerchief. First, don't make a Ouija board. Don't play with a Ouija board. If you are going to play with one anyways, make sure you know the rules. Yes, the rules. Always say goodbye, don't burn it, etc. You can look them up. I'm not a Ouija board expert. I don't mess with them. I'm not messing with that crap. Second, an embroidered Ouija board handkerchief sounds super cool and actually like a kind of pretty accessory to, like, you know, for those spooky gals on the go. So back to the seances. During one of these Ouija board sessions, they contacted a Dybbuk. It haunted them until they brought it into our world. Once it was here, they trapped it in the box. I don't know if I'm upset they were messing with this stuff or impressed they knew how to trap it. For my research, it's not an easy process and usually requires a rabbi. But I have to ask, if these young girls were able to make a Dybbuk box this easy, don't you think there would be more of them? I mean, I'm just saying, like, if these girls made this Dybbuk box, I would think there's probably a lot more than 10 Dybbuk boxes out there. So Jason used this information, contacted a rabbi, and found a way to sell the box. They then hid it in apparently a military-grade case and buried it on his land. This Dybbuk box was the inspiration for the 2012 horror movie, The Possession, which starred Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Oh, I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan. That man is so sexy. I don't even know, like, I could go on all day. I don't know who my favorite Jeffrey Dean Morgan is. I'll always have a special place in my heart for Denny, for those of my Grey's Anatomy fans that are out there. Oh my gosh, I loved Denny. But then, like, he plays Negan, and he is, like, the true quintessential bad boy. And you want to hate him because he kills a bunch of people, but you're oddly attracted to him at the same time, which makes you, like, question, like, your morals. And there's just something about that. But then he also plays the Winchester's dad, John Winchester, on Supernatural. And if Sam and Dean were not hot enough, Jeffrey Dean Morgan being their dad, oh my goodness, I don't know if I'm more attracted to the boys or their dad. I'm just saying. Okay, so what were we talking about? Oh yeah, that's right, the Dybbuk box. So where is the Dybbuk box now? Still buried on Jason's land? Nope. In 2017, Jason and Kevin were on Zach Bagans' show Ghost Adventures Artifacts. They were actually on Season 1, Episode 1. Jason brought it to Zach on the first episode of the show. Zach calls it the deadliest haunted object. I haven't found anyone who died from it in my research, though on this episode, Kevin reports he feels it was responsible for his mother's death. But I feel like he might be being a little bit dramatic on that because she was on the show Paranormal Witness talking about her experience with the Dybbuk box. So I don't know if he feels like the stroke eventually caused her death and the Dybbuk box caused the stroke, or if he thinks something happened with the Dybbuk box later on that actually did lead to her death. I don't know. He just says he feels like it led to his mother. It caused his mother's death. So Kevin is asked if the box can kill people, and he answers that he can't give it that power by saying yes. I'm just saying, like, I love Zach Bagans' shows, but they're so dramatic. Like, they're super duper duper dramatic. So Kevin also says that not all of what Jason says is true, and reports Jason put it in a rental property basement that had a renter. And the renter was found sitting dead over the box. So basically what they said was, Jason says that he put it in the basement of an empty rental property. Kevin says no. Jason put it in the basement of a property that had a renter in it. And they found this renter upstairs on the first floor, sitting in his chair, dead. He also says that the chair was directly above where the Dybbuk box was setting. I don't know if there's any truth to that, if that's just drama, if they just added that on to be a little scarier, I don't know. So Zach decides to connect Kevin back with the Dybbuk box on the show. Kevin goes in and immediately opens the box because, you know, apparently he didn't learn the first time. So then all of a sudden he starts reciting some weird sounding poem about a shadow man coming out of the box and tormenting souls. I mean, it really is kind of creepy to watch if you want to Google it and go look at that. I mean, it really was kind of weird. So in true Zach fashion, he sends someone else down to get him because, you know, he's being weird. So Kevin's shaken when he gets back upstairs where no one asks him about the weird things he was reciting downstairs. So they do talk to each other about whether or not he was trying to conjure something. And I'm sorry, like, if you go down and you open this haunted box and then all of a sudden you're asking the shadow man to come out and torment souls, like, you're going to have some explaining to do when you get back upstairs. Like, I want to know, who's he going to be tormenting? Did you just, like, call out a shadow man to torment and possess me? I need to know the answers. You got some explaining to do. But no, they just kind of quietly talk to each other about it, you know, on camera, but to each other, but never to him. Like, I think he's trying to possess us with the spirit. I think he was trying to conjure something to attack us. I mean, they just do this whole thing back and forth behind his back. But yeah, so they do call a rabbi in, and this guy's name is Rabbi Wine, which that's an awesome name, Rabbi Wine. I hope you live a long life. This rabbi says that in the Jewish faith, they believe in transmigration, which means the soul can get attached to an object. So basically just that the Dybbuk box could be attached to that box. Okay, so Jason decides to leave the box with Zach in his haunted museum in Las Vegas, where it is still kept today. And actually, in 2020, Zach did this whole lockdown thing during coronavirus where he was locked in his haunted museum and he did all of these things with the items in his haunted museum on his show. And he decided that, well, along with Post Malone, because, you know, when I think of Dybbuk's, I think of Post Malone, he decides to open the box because, you know, why not? I mean, clearly, someone had already opened Pandora's box in 2020, so might as well. What's the worst that can happen? So Post Malone reports after opening this Dybbuk box, his plane tires blew, he wrecked his Rolls Royce, and his house actually got robbed. And all of this happened after he opened the box with Zach. Coincidence? Maybe. I don't know. But Zach was given a second, smaller Dybbuk box for his museum as well, so he's actually got two of the supposed 10 Dybbuk boxes in the world in his museum. Now, there are a ton of videos on YouTube of people buying Dybbuk boxes and opening them. I guess people really did buy these things. I mean, you can take it with a grain of salt. Like, I watched this one where this guy actually opened the Dybbuk box and he's sitting, like, in his room at his desk, I guess where he films his YouTube videos, and he buys this Dybbuk box, and it's just like this, looks like a little cigar box or something, and it's covered in wax. So he opens it up, and then, like, he's sitting there and he's talking about the Dybbuk box and all this stuff and how he kind of feels like this evil spirit or whatever, this darkness around him now that he's opened the box, which of course he would because, you know, he needs, you know, people to watch this. But then all of a sudden, like, there's a plaque behind him on the wall and it starts to shake. And then it starts to shake and then it falls off the wall. And the next thing you know, he is in his car outside talking about how he's going to his brother's house because he is not staying there for the night. Now, all of this could have been staged, of course. This is YouTube. There's nothing on YouTube that has to be true. Somebody could have been on the other side of the thing, shaking the wall, making it fall off. He could have gotten in his car, say he's going to his brother's house for dramatic effect. I mean, there's not really anything saying that any of those on there are true, but it kind of makes you wonder. Mommies, just remember, when you're antiquing, don't buy any sealed, creepy old boxes, okay? Those other two Dybbuk boxes are out there somewhere, and no one knows where they are. You don't want to end up with one at your house. All right, guys, thanks for listening to my paranormal tale this week. Don't forget to subscribe to my podcast. Follow me on all the social media under Mombi Podcast. Go to my Instagram and let me know. Do you think the Dybbuk box is real or just real made up? Also, let me know any paranormal topics you would like to hear. So until next week, Mombies, may your coffee be strong and your wine be stronger.